Thank you, Mr. Kessler, and good morning to all you brethren. Now for some apparel that's a little bit opposite and different. Got to mix it up a little bit, I guess. Well, brethren, I hope you all had a very good week. As you can see outside, it's starting to get a little fallish feeling out there. And believe it or not, in 8 days from now, we were going to be sitting in Mount Morris at the Feast of Trumpets. And just a few days after that, we are going to be here in Buffalo for Day of Atonement. And a little over a couple of weeks from now, we're going to be heading to the Feast of Tabernacles. We've been making plans for some time now to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, and we've even been making plans for the Feast of Trumpets. We had a sign-up list for the past several weeks about having lunch there at the Feast of Trumpets. Of course, not on Day of Atonement, but only on the Feast of Trumpets. And we've been making plans for several months to travel to the feast, making housing reservations, looking through the brochure, seeing where we want to go, seeing where people that we've met that we want to meet again and spend time with again will be going. But is there something that we may be forgetting to plan for through all this planning process? I'm going to let you in on a little insight of my relationship and my marriage and my family. I'm sure this has never happened to you, only to me. But I'll tell you a little insight about sometimes how Holy Day services go for my wife and I. Come on, Linda, we're going to be late. That's how it usually starts out. Then it's in the car. Did you grab the checkbook? No, I thought you had it. What about the Holy Day offering envelopes? You had them when they came from the home office. You opened them and you put them someplace. Of course, I know it's never happened to you. Only me. Then we finally locate the checkbook. Usually one of us has one. Then we get to church. About 5 minutes before church starts, the music starts playing. We busily start hurrying around looking for a Holy Day offering envelope. Sometimes they're available, sometimes they're not, depending on who you can find. But then, at the very least, after the Holy Day offering is announced and the Holy Day special music, offering music, offertory music starts to play, you raise your hand, you hurriedly get an envelope, and then it's beat the clock before the ushers come around with the Holy Day offering baskets. You're filling out a check, not sure anybody can read it. The baskets are coming around, we're playing beat the clock. Will I get it done before the basket reaches me? Brethren, does sometimes our offering get lost or put on the back burner during the course of all the planning and all the effort that goes into attending a Holy Day? This sermonette, brethren, is to exhort you and exhort me to plan ahead now so that we can give an acceptable offering at each of the fall Holy Days. On the next 4 Holy Days, we're going to be giving over 57% of the total offerings for the entire year that we give. What steps can we take now to ensure that we will give an acceptable offering at each of those upcoming Holy Days, brethren? First, let's look at Genesis 4, going back to the what they call the beginning, the Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And let's read about the first recorded offering in the Bible. Genesis 4 and verse 3. At the designated time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the ground for an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought some of the firstborn of his flock, even the fattest of them. And the Lord was pleased with Abel and his offering. But with Cain and his offering, he was not pleased. So Cain became very angry, and his expression was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why is your expression downcast? Is it not true that if you do what is right, you will be fine? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to dominate you, but you must subdue it." Well, I was asking my dad yesterday afternoon as I was preparing this sermonette, what was wrong with Cain's offering? I thought maybe that it was because he didn't give an animal sacrifice. My dad said, no, of course, you look at the later in the Old Testament and Leviticus and Deuteronomy about grain offerings. So there's nothing so bad about a grain offering. But apparently, if you go back into Josephus and read, Cain was led to believe that he was going to be the Savior, Jesus Christ. He was brought up to believe that. And what that has to do with us preparing for us to give an acceptable offering is that we must remember, brethren, that it is a privilege to give an offering to God. Reading through these scriptures, it was obvious it became Cain didn't look at giving an offering as a privilege. He looked at it as a burden. And he became very, well, it says he's very angry and downcast about having to give an offering. He became very angry at God about having to do it. So we have to remember that giving an offering and be able to go to the Holy Day and give an offering to God is a privilege. Secondly, brethren, we should be praying that our offering will be used to reach those God is calling. Pray that the offering that we give will be used to teach, to reach those God is calling. You know, each of us is sitting here because somebody else gave an offering at one point in time. In the case of my family, my father went to Georgia Tech to college. And when he would come out to the car after one of his classes, one of the radio stations that he listened to in the morning going to class would be set on the particular radio station. And when he turned the car on and the radio came on, Garner Ted Armstrong would be talking on the radio. Now, somebody had to give an offering so that that radio broadcast could be put on that radio station in Atlanta. So each one of us, you know, some of us have been here since, I know Mr. Close probably since the early 60s, my family since the late 60s, but somewhere along the way gave an offering that helped give that literature or that radio broadcast or that television broadcast, it gave us the chance to hear that and for us to answer that calling that God gave us. Matthew 5 and verse 10 talks about this. Matthew 5 and verse 10. Matthew 5, verse 10, Jesus sent out 12, instructing them as follows, do not go to Gentile regions and do not enter any Samaritan town. Go instead to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. In verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. So at some point in time, whenever you were called and came into God's church, someone freely gave, and you were able to freely receive. So we must also be praying that as we give, as we freely give, that message will reach those who God is calling at this point in time. Next, brethren, we should give according to how we've been blessed. That's an instruction which we've heard over and over in this scripture we always read at the offertory, in the offertory message that we hear. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16. Almost know this by heart. Three times a year, all your males must appear before the Lord of your God in the place he chooses for the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, and the festival of temporary shelters, and they must not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every one of you must give as you are able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God has given you. So that's the instruction that we are to take. And we are to examine. It's almost like examining ourselves for the Day of Unleavened Bread. We have to examine the way God has blessed each one of us throughout the year. And God expects us to analyze and look at how we've been blessed, not physically necessarily, but spiritually. Also maybe through healing or health, if you've been healed in some way. God expects us to take that all into account and then to give him an offering that's according to those blessings that he's given us throughout the year. Lastly, brethren, we must be giving our offering with a proper attitude. You know, it all really comes down not to the amount, but it comes down to the attitude that we approach our offering with. And when we give the offering, that we do have a proper attitude. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 6 talks about what our attitude should be when we're giving an offering. Paul's saying, my point is this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one of you should give just as he has decided in his heart, just as we read before, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. You know, if we're preparing our offering beforehand, and maybe we even make the amount out and a few days before the Holy Day offering, and then we let it sit there, and we walk past it, and we start to think, man, I could have really done something else with that money. And then you walk by it a few other times, and I really would have liked to have something else to do with that money. And next thing you know, you're crumpling up the envelope, and you're kicking it across the room, and you're throwing it down, and you pick it up, and you take it to services with you, and you put it in the basket. You say, there, I gave that offering. I did what I was supposed to do. Well, that really doesn't fulfill the commandment, does it? Not only are we to be giving the offering, but we're to be giving it cheerfully. Perhaps the best example is the example of the widow's mite in Mark 12, verse 41. Mark 12 and verse 41. Christ was observing the people putting money into the box in the temple. Then he sat down opposite the offering box and watched the crowd putting coins into it. Many rich people were throwing in large amounts, and a poor widow came and put two small copper coins worth less than a penny. He called his disciples and said to them, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the offering box than all the others. For they all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put it in what she had to live on, everything she had. Now, God's not expecting us to, in fact, it would be just as wrong to take everything that we had and give it an offering and not provide for shelter and food for ourselves. God doesn't expect that. What he does expect, though, is us to have the proper attitude. So, brethren, in conclusion, just as we're going through the planning process of going to the Holy Days, planning on traveling to the feast, how we're getting to the Holy Days, what we're going to each eat on the Holy Day, let's also remember that we need to be planning ahead, that we are going to give an acceptable offering during this fall Holy Day season.